Good morning. How are you?
Where are the goals?
All right, brother. You get to go in about 12:05, I think, is when Pastor wraps up. Pastor Seth? 2 o'clock. There we go. Okay. Thank you, Brother Chuck. I appreciate you being here today. I'd like to thank you, first of all, for coming today. Pastor's gone, and somebody's up here who, as Pastor said last week, this guy's not a preacher, but I love the Lord and I love his word. And Pastor said last week he'd like me to continue the topic of stewardship, and more specifically, the stewardship of raising children. The stewardship of raising our children. Let's go to the Lord for prayer, would you? Father in heaven, you're so gracious and you're so loving and you're so good. Lord, we thank and praise you for that. Lord, this morning, Pastor has asked us to speak on bringing up children. Lord, these truths have come from your word. So, Lord, we pray for each heart here today that as your word goes forth, that you would give understanding. Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit to speak and give understanding for the hearer, and Lord, also for the speaker. Lord, I pray that your word would go forth with power. Lord, I pray for those that are here today. Lord, each one of us have different needs in our lives. Lord, we come to you and we bring those needs to you, and we ask for your fulfilling of those needs. Lord, help us to realize that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness. Lord, we're thankful for that truth. Lord, be with our pastor today as they travel. Give them safety. Give them rest as he gets to sit under other preaching instead of him doing the preaching. I pray that they'd come back refreshed and with a renewed vision of honoring you in this church and in each of our lives. And now, Lord, we pray that your message would reach the hearts that it needs to reach. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Psalm 127. Stewardship of raising our children. Pastor stated that he felt Sharon and I had done a good job raising our children. Romans 2:4 says that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. It was the goodness of God that led my children to repentance and salvation. It was the goodness of God. I'd like to say I'm the guy that did it all. Realistically, I wasn't at home a lot. I was out working. Mom was at home. The hand that rocks the cradle, finish it, rules the world. The most important job on the face of the earth. More important than the presidency of the United States of America. The hand that rocks the cradle. The most important job. What do people say about your wife? Does your wife work? That's what they ask me. Does your wife work? No, she sits at home and twiddles her thumbs all day. The kids change themselves and clothe themselves and feed themselves. Does your wife work? My wife worked very hard, and you at-home moms work very hard, as well as you moms that have to go out and earn a living. But that mom at home, it's almost looked down upon today. It's almost looked down upon. The most important job on the face of the earth is raising tomorrow's servants for the master. Because that's what we're doing. That's exactly what we're doing. Parents, we're raising servants for the master. There's a lot of things that go on along the way. We fish and we hunt and we do many things. But the goal is that we are training servants for the master's use. That's what it is. We're not just raising a person to go do whatever it is they want to do in life. That's not what we're here to do. We're here to train servants for the master's use, fit for the master's use. It was the goodness of God that led my children to repentance and salvation. It was the goodness of God that at the age of 16, I came forward in a church and I knelt here at an old-fashioned altar and I confessed my sin before a holy God. I asked Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sin and to come into my heart and save me, and he did. And if you're here today and you have never been saved, don't leave this room without salvation. God has a wonderful plan for your life, and it'll start right here at this old-fashioned altar. After we're done speaking this morning, we'll give you an opportunity to come forward and let someone take God's word and show you how you can know the Lord as your Savior. At the age of 16, I was saved. The Lord forgave my sin. I claim Romans 10:13 that morning, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I called upon the Lord, and he saved me that morning. 2 years later, I was off to Bible college. Under the prayerful guidance of a loving pastor, God had a plan for my life. And God has a plan for each of your lives. God has a plan for your children's lives. God has a plan. There I met a beautiful girl that had a heart for God. She had a heart for God. I could not believe that this girl's mindset was on honoring the Lord. She had a heart for God. I remember we were she must have been singing with a college group, and I said to Pastor at the time, I said, I'm going to marry that girl up there. Oh, are you dating? No. No, we're not dating, but by the grace of God, I'm going to marry that girl. And the Lord gave me my desire and my wish. She left school, and we raised 4 children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. By the grace of God, by the hand that sat at home and rocked that cradle, and sang to the babies and read God's word to the babies and prayed with them. Moms is an important job. Young married people have children. They're a heritage from the Lord. Psalm 127. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gates. Rearing our children, it's all right here. It's all right here. It's all in this book. It's all right here. This is what our kids have to see in their lives. This is what our kids have to see in their parents' life. They have to see that this book is, as we say, the final authority of all matters of faith and practice. What is Dad's opinion? Dad's opinion is right here. And if Dad's opinion ever isn't in here, then it has to get corrected. We've got to give our children the Word of God. We've got to give them the Word of God. We have got to instill that in their hearts. We've got to do that. Dads, you go to work. You're away many hours. You do a lot. Dads have a special place. We get to go home and administer to the discipline. Boy, I can't wait till Dad gets home. But that's our job. And if we don't take that job, then our children are like cities with no walls and no protection. And they grow up and they don't have boundaries and they don't know where to go and they don't know what to do. So we do our job. We do our job. Proverbs 22:6 tells us, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he would not depart from it. By the grace of God, we have four children that are following the Lord right now. And by the grace of God, they will continue to follow the Lord. We have 9 grandchildren, 4 of which are saved, 5 of which are saved. One the other night at family devotions, at family altar, the little 5-year-old had been asking many times about salvation, and my son had been wanting him to have more interest and more firmness about what he wanted to do. And he said, Dad, I need to be saved. Well, let's go. So he took out God's word, and he just explained the gospel again. Although the young man had heard it from church and heard it from the parents and heard it from the grandparents, but he just went through it one more time, and little Caleb trusted the Lord as his Savior. What a wonderful God we serve. What a wonderful God we serve. We've got to keep this book in front of our children. We've got to keep it in front of ourselves. We've got to keep this book in front of ourselves. We've got to hide it down in our hearts. We've got to take the little 3x5, and we got to write a verse on it and stick it in our pocket. So when we get a free minute, we pull it out and we review it. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Pastor said, Brother Raver's not perfect, and he's right. And Mrs. Raver's not sinless, and he's right. We're sinners saved by grace. Someday we'll go to heaven, and then the old nature will be gone, but right now it's still here. Self is still here. We still have that. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he would not depart from it. What is that way? That way is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We've got to bring salvation to our children. John 1:14, the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. What a blessing. God came to earth. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Pastor said, Brother Raven, I want you to say some things that you did. And I said, Pastor, I don't think it's anything that I did. But he said, I want you to give biblical truths that you use, things that you did. So this is one message in my life where I will say, you know, Sharon and I did this, and I'll never say that again in any other message. Because it's not about me, it's not about my wife, it's about the God of heaven, and it's about his word. Because that's what it's about. It's about his word. We try to instill in our children a love for God and to build a living faith in them. We tried to instill God's word in our children. The Lord is looking today for the same thing which he was looking for in the Garden of Eden, that a man would have a heart for God and obey his word. That was the problem they had in the garden. They couldn't obey. They weren't able to obey. They had everything except one thing, and that they wanted. And they couldn't obey. The Lord is looking today for people that will love him and that will obey. We must uphold God's word before our children. We've got to uphold this word. This can't be something that we pick up on Sunday morning. This has got to be something that our children see in our life. See in our life. You know, I asked our children, I told them what we're going to speak on, and I said, what do you guys think? I know from my viewpoint where I'm hoping that we tried to go. What do you think? And I want to say again that I'm not perfect. Okay, I don't mean to ever let anybody think that I'm perfect. I'm not. But somehow my kids were able to see that Christianity was real in our life. It wasn't something that we did on Sunday morning. I saw it was real in our life, and I thought, what a good God. Somehow, with all my failures and with all my sin and with all my shortcomings, somehow my kids saw God through me. What a blessing. What a blessing. We work in the world. We're the only light that some people may ever see. Do they see Jesus in us? Is Jesus Christ seen in us? Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We're the light of the world. A city that is set upon a hill, it can't be hid, can it? The light has to go out. We are the light. We're the light for our children. We're the light for those around us. The world is in darkness. They need a Savior. They need a Savior. We've got to take it to them. Can they see Jesus Christ through us, or do they just see us? I'm not saying we're going to be perfect, but we've got to try. We've got to go out. We've got to take ourselves. And 9 million times I've laid myself on the altar and given myself to the Lord, and I keep picking me back up and trying to help me. But we've got to let the world see Jesus Christ through us. Do our children see Jesus Christ through us? Our children see us like nobody else sees us. Like nobody else sees us. At church, we can come in, we can put on a nice suit and a tie, and we can say happy things and do all that. But our children see us in our lowest moments. We've got to let them see Jesus Christ. We've got to walk in the Word and walk in the Spirit to where our children see Jesus Christ. And when I say walk in the Spirit, I don't mean that you have to be sinless, because you're not going to be on this earth. But you have to be striving. You have to be reaching for the goal. We have to be. Deuteronomy 6. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6. Verses 5, 6, and 7. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. That's where God's word has to be. It has to be in our homes. We've got to talk about it in our homes. When we go places, we've got to raise up God and his word. Not just before our children, but before the world. We've got to reach the world. We've got to do it. That's our commission. That's our commission, to reach the world. How do we do it? One life at a time. Four little souls at a time is how we do it. Four little souls. Four little soldiers that are going to go out someday into the battle, and they're going to fight for the Lord. What are we doing as parents? We're training servants for the master's use. That's what we're doing as parents. And that doesn't mean we don't play street hockey and all that other stuff. My body got beat up terrible in street hockey because I can barely stand up, let alone skate and do all the other things. But as a dad, those are the things you do. And somehow the Lord holds your body together and you get through it. But we're training servants for the master's use. That's what we're doing. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And might I say that vision is not a dream in the night. That vision is a word from heaven, as the second half of that verse says. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. The law, that's the word of God. Psalm 119 talks about thy law, thy statutes, thy judgments, thy precepts, thy ways. That's where the answer is. And where there is no vision, where there is no word from heaven, the people perish. The people perish. Children of Israel, many times in disobedience, would come to a place where they look to heaven and they'd say, God, what are we going to do now? And God would say, I'm not going to tell you. You're not walking with me. You have nothing to do with me. You raise up other gods. You do whatever you want, and now you need me, and you turn to me. No, no, now you're going to do it on your own for a little bit. And the Lord's always there, isn't he? Isn't a gracious God always there? And we get a little bit of discipline, and we grow a little bit, and then he brings his grace in and raises us up. We've got to have a vision. We've got to have the Lord's word in our lives. We've got to have the Lord's word in our children's lives. Hannah had no children. She prayed to God, God, you give me a man-child, and I'll give him back to you. I'll train him to serve you. 1 Samuel, turn with me to 1 Samuel 1. In verse 11, 1 Samuel 1, Hannah has come here and begged the Lord for a man-child. Verse 11, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the afflictions of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Here, mom begging God for a man-child and then giving him back. In verse 24, and when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here, praying unto the Lord for this child I prayed. The Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord as long as he liveth. He shall be lent to the Lord. And she worshiped the Lord there. She trained him up and weaned him, and then she brought him to the Lord's work. What are we doing? We're training servants for the master. We're training servants for the master's use. Servants fit for the master's use. The scriptures would have us surrender our children's lives to the master's use, to serve him in whatever way he would desire. We don't mind, God, if you take our children and have them be a pastor of a nice church somewhere. Maybe a Bible college and a Christian school and a daycare and a mission center. But then we say, Lord, don't send them off to the mission field. Don't get them too far from me. There's no health care over there, Lord. Did you know there's no health care over there, Lord? Did you know in some places you take money and you bring supplies to the hospital because they don't have any supplies? Lord, don't take my kids over there. My wife and I, when our children were babies, would, as the tradition is here, we bring our babies up front and we dedicate our lives to the Lord. And we give our children to the Lord. And we say that we're going to walk before God all the days of our lives so our children see that. And then we give our children to the Lord. And we say, Lord, anywhere and anything you want. The church in the States, that's great. That'd be great. What about a mission field somewhere where you never get to see them again? What about that? Would you let your kids go? There is no better place to be than in the center of God's will. Might not be the safest place. Many people have died in God's will. They died as servants for the master. That's what we're training. Pastors talked about missionaries that have gone to school and got all the training, did all the language, and got on the field and died the next day. What a waste, we'd say, as human beings. No. Training for the master, and that's what the master had. When we dedicate our children to the Lord, it's not just to live. It might even be to die. Is the Lord worthy? He's worthy. Is he worthy of our children? He's worthy of our children. Psalm 29:2 tells us, give unto the Lord the glory, do unto his name, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We need to give unto the Lord the glory, do unto his name. I'm going to have to move a little faster through this, or Brother Chuck, or you're not going to eat lunch. Okay, brother, you listen fast. Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of, tell me, his good pleasure. His good pleasure. We're training servants for the master. We invested in our children's lives. When they're babies, we dedicate our lives to the Lord. We dedicate our lives to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Raising our children was our life. Training our children was our life. I didn't have personal hobbies, which took me away from my children and left them without me. When I drove the church bus, they rode the church bus. When I preached in the special education group, they came and they sang or did memory verses. When the time came for discipline, this was probably my hardest. Discipline. The rod of correction shall do what? Drive foolishness far from them. It'll drive it far from them. The rod of correction. To be administered with lots of love. To be administered with prayer. The rod of correction. Those children that are raised without it are like cities. With no walls, no defenses, no protection. Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Again, applied with lots of love. I came from, my father was an abusive father. When I got married, my battle was, I'm not laying anything on my children. I had enough laid on me. But yet there's a principle in Scripture, and it says if you don't apply the rod, the child will be destroyed. And so with prayer and love, the rod was applied. And it worked. Why did it work? Because God said it would work. God gave us a plan. We don't have to make up a plan. He gave us one. He gave us one. Am I saying to beat your children? No, I'm not. I catch you beating a child, and me and you might have physical problems between each other. We might have that problem. So I'm not saying that, but discipline, it's important. We sent them to a Christian school. We trusted the Lord for the funds. I fixed people's brakes, and I cut their grass, and I did whatever I could. Whatever God had given me the ability to do. And got them in a Christian school. Why? Because we're training servants for the master's use. I'm not saying everybody has to go to a Christian school. I'm not saying that. I am not saying that. If I say anything today that offends you, it's because you've misunderstood it, or maybe you and I need to discuss what God's word says. I'm not saying everybody has to go down the path. Pastor said, Chris, what did you do? And so that's what I'm telling you. I'm not telling you what you have to do. We sent them to a Christian school. We trusted the Lord for the funds. I didn't have the money, but the Lord provided. The Lord owns a cattle on a thousand hills. Maybe he's going to have to sell one in getting a servant trained. God provided with these hands. Judges 6:14, God told Gideon, go in this thy might. Go in this thy might, Gideon. You go, you take what I've given you, and you do what you can. And then in verse 16, he says, and surely I will be with thee. When you come up short with those hands, I'll take care of the rest. We then sent them off to Bible college, continuing their training to be servants fit for the master's use. We sent them to a Bible college that loved this book. So when they left that Bible college, they didn't leave this book. They loved this book more. We taught them to abstain from all appearance of evil. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. 2 Corinthians 6:17 and 18 tells us to come out from among them and be ye separate. And we told them that. We don't dress that way. We don't dress like the world. We don't talk that way. Because our mission is different than other people's. We don't go where the world goes. 1 Peter 2:8 and 9. Lot went where the world went. Lot got way too close to the world, and it cost him dearly. It cost him dearly. He got too close to the world. Now, some things that are coming up here you might not agree with, and that's fine. We don't have to agree on everything. But when we get too close to the world, it gets on us, and then we get sucked in. Movie theaters. I'm not judging you, Pastor asked me to say where I was. Drive-in movies. The beach with mixed swimming. What do boys wear when they go swimming? They wear shirts. They wear shorts down to their knees. And they don't swim with the girls. What are we doing? We're training servants for the master's use. Hebrews 12:1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we are also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which shall so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Where do we get understanding on raising our children? From God. God is not trying to hide his will from us. James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given. This isn't a way that you have to guess. It's a way that's written down. 2 Chronicles 16:9. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Perfect, sinless, no. But a wholeness for God. A oneness of mind for God. That's what perfect is. Completeness in Christ. God will give us direction and understanding through his word. We need to make straight paths for our feet, as we said in Sunday school this morning. Hebrews 12:13 says, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. We can turn our children out of the way. Would that be horrible as you stand before God and say, God says you've turned your child out of the way because you walked away you shouldn't have, and he went there and he fell there. Hebrews 12:13. It's important that we walk right. We need to give our children a Christian heritage. God will give us direction. What the children said. What did the children say as they look back? They said our parents loved the Lord and they loved us. And we knew it. We were always in church. There was never a question, are we going to church today? I wonder what we're doing today. We're going to church. Why are we doing that? Because the Bible tells us to do that. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Exhorting one another. We need to encourage each other to be in church. I teach a Sunday school class here by the grace of God. I've encouraged some people to come and join, and later they come up and they say, thank you for that encouragement. God's word is such a blessing to me. We've got to encourage each other. Serving the Lord was, as I said earlier, it wasn't a religious event with our parents, they said. They said it was a way of life. And I don't see how in all my failures they saw that. A gracious God. A gracious God. Pastor preached some time ago about the importance of boundaries. The importance of boundaries. We have guardrails on the roads and lines and signs to keep these cars going that way and these cars going this way and try not to cross them. Boundaries are important. If you as a parent don't give your children boundaries, they will pay for it and you will pay for it. Boundaries are important. We've got to give them boundaries. We've got to give them boundaries. We always knew where our parents stood based on biblical principles. There was no doubt. Where's Dad on this? I'll tell you where Dad is on this. He's right where they knew. Television. Television. Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence. Television will take your heart. Television will take your children's heart. It'll take it if you don't watch it. The music they listen to, the friends they have, the events that they view. We all like watching that big football game. What's the biggest football game of the year called?
The Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl. When you turn on the TV, you go, you've got to be kidding me. People dress like that? Yeah, they do. If you can't watch a Super Bowl without seeing people that aren't clothed, don't watch it. Don't watch it. Can you fast forward through that? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. If you think your mind's not quick enough to take that picture, you're crazy. That mind will snap that picture like that. Places to go. Dad said it. This is where we're going. We're not going there. Why not? Because Dad said we're not. And if I can explain it to you, that's great. And if I can't, it's because I said. Then we must uphold God's man. 2 Kings, three she-bears came out when the kids were mocking God's man and killed them. They mocked God's man. We've got to hold God's man up. We always held God's man up in our children's eyes. We didn't talk negative about him. We didn't talk negative about his message. We held up God's man. Why? Because someday they're going to go to him. They're going to need an answer from someone. And for some reason, they won't be able to go to their parents. But they'll be able to go to him. And we need to hold him up there. You rip God's man down, and then where are they going to go? They're going to go to their friends. And you know what kind of advice they're going to get there? They're not going to get this book. Aaron and Hur, they held up Moses' hands. We need to hold up the hands of our pastor in front of our children, holding up God's man before our children. Christ has done wondrous things for me. Wondrous things for me. I can do no less than praise him and praise his name. As a young man, I was heading down a bad path. By the grace of God, a youth pastor stepped in and said, listen, let me tell you where the path is leading that you're going down. And now God leads me in, as Psalm 27:11 says, it says, Lord, lead me in a plain path. Lead me in a plain path, in a safe path. In a path that I know. And how do we know it? We know it from this book. God is worthy of our children. God is worthy of our lives. God is worthy of our praise. The Lord wants our hearts today. It's what he's wanted ever since the beginning of mankind, is a man with a heart for God that would obey his word. The Lord wants our hearts today. He has a wonderful plan for each of our lives, in each of our children's lives, in which he's going to bring glory to himself. As we obey his word and follow his man, the Lord will bless our lives. As the pianists come, as the piano players come forward, I'd like to ask you a question. First of all, have you ever trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you been saved? If you're here today and you're not saved, and you don't have eternal life, it's only because you've not made the choice. In a minute here, we're going to play, and I'm going to ask you to come forward. I'm going to ask you to stand right here, and I'll get a personal worker to take God's word and share salvation with you. If you're not saved, Jesus Christ loves you. God loves you, but God is holy, and God is just. Therefore, there's a hell. There's a hell. There's a heaven and there's a hell. The choice is yours. God doesn't send you to hell. You go there on your own. You go there over the body of Jesus Christ. If you are not saved, you need to be saved today. Secondly, Christians, have you surrendered your children to be servants fit for the master's use? Stand with me. Pastor Seth, would you start a verse?